We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hi, friends. I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today on the show, I have Dani Nagel. She's the founder of Daisy LA, a fashion brand focused on empowering women through conversation and community. Daisy LA specializes in clothing for people who care. Each design is hand-drawn by Dani, then manufactured as they are ordered in Los Angeles. On today's episode, we talk about sustainability, community building, and how Dani has intentionally built a business that supports her personal values. Dani talks about how transparency and showing behind-the-scenes processes of her marketing and product development has helped her business. And we dive into Daisy LA's ambassador program, which tools they use, how they structure it, and how it has helped them build the retail side of their business. Enjoy. Hey, Dani, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So tell us about Daisy LA. What types of products do you make and who are they for?
So Daisy LA is my clothing line for people who care. That's one of my taglines.
Love it.
The mission behind the brand is really to empower women and create conversation using our apparel as a literal conversation starter. All the designs I do have a message behind them, and everything is also sustainably made in USA. So just really every part of the brand and our platform on social media we use to create conversation and spread good and empowerment in the world.
I love it. How do you tactically weave that into, you mentioned the messaging on your products, but how do you tactically weave that into things like your company culture, your marketing, your customer experience?
What's really cool about Daisy is it's this sort of combination of all the things that I love and care about. As a lover of both art and fashion, by being able to fuse that into what Daisy originally started with, graphic tees, those are two things that I care about. And then also being able to weave my values into the company, being like very feminist driven. And I feel like all of that really just came naturally. And for the first time, after years and years of working in the t-shirt industry for a lot of corporate companies, when I went to start my own brand, I knew it had to be something that I really cared about and that was really true to me. Mm-hmm. So every step of the way with Daisy, I've just been very intentional about aligning my messaging and my values along with my brand and my aesthetic. And it's somehow worked out. It's a hodgepodge of stuff, but we've been able to work it together into a really beautifully branded and intentional pretty little package.
Yeah. I'm sure from a CEO perspective too, it makes it easier to make decisions within the business when everything is so aligned with your personal values and goals. Is that true?
Oh, totally. I mean, when it comes to design, I really am trying to design things that I want to wear and I want to promote. And I think it really comes across to my audience. And as far as the messaging and mission behind all of that, it's just, I just follow what feels right to me. I try to stay true to myself in everything that I do.
Nice. Prior to Daisy, you were doing freelance design work for several large brands, Hot Topic, Torrid, Urban Outfitters.
Actually, full-time.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. My apologies.
A lot of people don't.
So you were working full-time in-house as a designer, and then you were also doing freelance work. I guess one of the things that you knew what you wanted to design and the messaging that you wanted to create around it, was learning how to manufacture these products difficult for you? Or was that a learning curve?
Manufacturing and production, I always say, are the hardest parts of a product-based business.
Yep.
Especially since most of my career, I was so on the design end of things. When you work for these corporate companies, you sit in a desk all day and you just pump out designs like a design machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really get to put a lot of thought and, artistic spin on anything. It just really feels like you're a cog in the machine and they don't really give you a chance to delve into other things like production or the marketing and all this fun stuff that I get to do with Daisy now. So when I was working for all of those corporate companies, I did Urban Outfitters, Macy's, Torrid, Hot Topic, just to name a few. And then I ended up getting a job with a startup company called Revice Denim. I helped name the thing. I like did all the marketing and I helped facilitate the production.
Nice.
That was one of the first times I really got to be a part of that process. And they produce all of their, it's a denim brand, but they produce all of their denim in Los Angeles. So I was like on the ground, like going to all these dye houses and factories and really learning about that process and how complicated it is.
Oh, yes. It's hugely complicated. And not just the manufacturing, but the fulfillment, the inventory management, like all of it. And especially in the fashion industry where you have multiple sizes of things and different, you know, types of apparel, you know, it gets complicated fast. So it sounds like that position in particular was kind of a crash course in the manufacturing side of things. Is that true?
Oh, totally. That position was really like the first time I got a feel for what it's like to run a business and being able to like launch a brand, do the marketing, run social media. I started doing photography when I was there and really like be able to do all the different creative things that I really love to do, but really never got the chance to.
Yeah. I believe it. I worked in the corporate world for a long time too. And, you know, to your point, you are somewhat of a cog in a wheel. You have a specific job, you do the job, you know, and then it moves on to somebody else. But I read in your bio that you started this business completely self-funded, no loans, no investors, no nothing. How much did you invest in your business at the beginning? And what were the first things you spent money on?
So when I first launched Daisy, I spent $4,000 on my first run of clothing. And I had quit the startup to start Daisy, and I saved up enough money to live comfortably for a year off of. And it was important for me to have that safety net. And I also, during that, the year that I was at that startup, had built up a freelance base of clients. And this is where my freelance world starts to, you know, come more into the picture. Because when you're working for these corporate companies, a lot of times they don't want you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I started working for the startup, I was allowed to freelance and felt comfortable with the client base I had to venture off my own and know that like I had that there at least to like keep me going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I spent $4,000 on my first run of shirts. I did it really simple. I stored all of the shirts in my kitchen cabinets in my studio apartment and just like dropped them in the mailbox outside. It was a really small operation. And at that point, like freelance was really like what was keeping me like sane and like, you know, had some sort of income until Daisy did eventually start to grow.
Yeah. What do you attribute that growth to? What kind of marketing were you doing to reach out to your customers?
So I had been on Instagram since its like inception when people didn't even really realize it was a social media app. They just thought it was a photo editing app. and when I was in fashion school, so I went to school for fashion design. I was doing fashion blogging. This was before Instagram even existed. I was on lookbook.nu, which was like the fashion website, just sharing my looks. And, you know, I was getting to dabble with photography and like, you know, doing some like modeling stuff. And it was really fun. And naturally, when I went to start Daisy, like I had a background in fashion blogging and sharing that on social media. So that was the platform I chose to use. And I had made some friends through the, like having been in the blogging world and having worked with bloggers with the startup, and I would do photo shoots with them. I had learned photography with that startup. So I would trade them photos for their blog in exchange for like photos of them in my clothing. And they would, you know, end up posting and tagging. And, you know, I became friends with some of these girls. Like officially Quigley is one of my good friends. And like, we started together at the very beginning. Like she was one of my first models, just like a bunch of like girls that I connected with, Little Black Boots, Pretty Little Fun. And through their promotion and like our collaboration, I think that got a lot of eyes on my social media when I first started.
Yeah.
And then with the launch of Instagram Story is really when things started to take off because, you know, since I'm a graphic designer and a brander, I was able to make my company look very professional and bigger than just one girl making t-shirts, storing them in her closets. And a lot of people didn't realize that I was a small brand. And I didn't think that that's what people wanted to see, really. Like, mm-hmm. You convince people that you're bigger than you are. And I was working with really legit models that I had met through living in LA. So it looked like all very legit. But as soon as Instagram story came out, I decided to just share like my day-to-day of running a business. And the very first day of Instagram story launch, I shared my entire design process of me creating a graphic from start to finish. And
wow,
the response was incredible. All these people were messaging me. They're like, I had no idea that one, like this was a small company owned by like one young girl. And two, that like you did all the artwork yourself. So through Instagram story, I just started to transparently share the highs and lows of running a business, the fun behind the scenes, and all the nitty gritty I remember wishing I could see when I was working for these corporate companies and longing to start my own company.
Yeah. So listening to you, a couple of things came to mind. One, I just had this conversation with somebody else the other day of this, the perception, right? When we're just starting out, we do want to look bigger than we are because we want to be taken seriously and we want people to, you know, purchase our products. But then it gets to a point too where we want people to know we're small and nimble and there's not a huge team behind it. So I feel you there. And then the second thing I wanted to ask is, do you feel that there's any drawbacks to being too transparent? Do you worry about privacy or proprietary information from your business being shared?
Yeah, I will say like when I first started to share the behind the scenes of my graphic design process, I started to worry like, you know, if people were going to start knocking me off. And that has happened. And a lot of people, you know, have kind of tried to replicate Daisy. And I see like accounts popping up here and there, like with like basically my same like branding and messaging and like design style. And but at the end of the day, I feel like my art stands on its own and my messaging and branding is really strong. And I know that the sharing transparently has been what has helped my business grow.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, like it's all for the best. And I remember when I was working for a lot of these corporate companies, they were like so adamant about like not sharing anything. And I was always trying to push the rules, always getting in trouble. So it was really fun, like having control of my own brand and be able to say, screw it. Like, I'm going to share everything. I'm going to share designs before they're released. I'm going to share how I made them. And it's really helped build a community around Daisy and encourage other women to pursue their dreams as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I feel the exact same way. You know, I ended up starting Proof to Product because I had a product-based business and there was a lot I didn't know. There was a lot I did know. And I just felt like if we all get together and share what we do know, all of us will thrive. All of us will grow stronger together. And, you know, now we've got this great, amazing community. So I'm with you on the sharing side. I sometimes with social media, I start to wonder like, are we oversharing? And not you specifically, but like, you know,
kind of me specifically, I'm intense. Like, I've been to a point where my boyfriend's like people can like basically see where we live, like you're all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be so.
Yeah. Well, and it's crossed my mind too, because I have small kids. And so, you know, I'm curious about what other people's opinions and thoughts are on that. So thank you for sharing that. I know you do have an engaged customer base, a community that follows you. What marketing tactics do you use on a day-to-day basis to really engage with them and create dialogue and create like this just love for your brand?
We really use our platform as a space to create conversation, and we really want that to be a back and forth conversation. We design along with our audiences. I ask their opinions. We have like back and forth dialogue on our comment section. There's a hashtag Daisy dialogue. And we bring up these tricky topics that modern women struggle with that a lot of our collections are designed around. So I think what's really cool with our audience, and we have a really amazing ambassador community as well, is we put a lot of effort into not just having it be me talking at them, but for it to be a circular conversation where I'm talking to the audience, they're talking to me, they're talking to each other. And it really feels like more of a community that way.
Yeah, it's more of a conversation. I love that.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Do you mind sharing details about your ambassador program? How did you decide to start that? And how did you kind of structure it?
Gosh, it was honestly on a whim. And it's been like one of the biggest, most impactful marketing tools and like community tools that we've ever launched. And we just did it, you know, we launched it one day thinking we were going to keep track of it ourselves through like a Google Doc and like reward people for like posting and referring people and all that. And the day we launched it, we got so many applications that we immediately had to switch it over to an automated platform.
Oh, wow.
This really cool tool called Refersion. And that helps like with the sign up process and keeping track of people's. So everyone's assigned like a unique discount code and a link where they actually get 10% commission on any of their friends or followers they refer to the brand. They get secret content, emails, discounts. It's really like people that want to get more involved than just being a bystander or a customer. They want to feel like they're a part of the brand. And we try to do all we can with our ambassador programs to accomplish that.
That's awesome. Do you have an application they have to fill out, and do you have to vet them before you let them in as an ambassador?
So we have an application directly on our website, and basically they fill out their info, all the info we need for them to sign up. And we really want, like, we have some like men who are Daisy ambassadors. We want all sorts of people. You don't have to have a certain amount of followers or anything like that. I mean, the vetting process is more like, okay, is this like a real person, or is this a bot, or is this a troll? So the application process is very easy. We want everyone to come join us. And I think we have, last time I checked, 16 or 17,000 brand ambassadors.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow. Okay, so now I want to dive deeper into this because I'm totally curious. So you have an application process, but because you're not really sending them product or anything, you're just setting them up with the code and they get a referral commission. There's no reason to cap it, right? There's no reason to limit who it is. You just open it pretty wide.
Yeah, it's super chill. Like, there's no requirements. It's just a way for people to feel involved in the brand. And a lot of people like to add it to their bio. A lot of people post, we'll do contests and giveaways.
What kind of tools do you give your ambassadors to help promote you? Do you have like a resource page with photos, or do you tell them to use any of your Instagram and reshare those?
We have a weekly email that goes out, and me and my content strategy partner, Naomi, are always trying to come up with fun ideas, and we'll have tips that we'll share with our email. We have an ambassador Facebook group where they all connect with each other. There's like a whole like underground market of like Daisy reselling. It cracks me up. But I mean, like, for a brand that stands so much for sustainability, I'm happy that people are like, you know, the shirts can keep living on. And
right. Give them a second life.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Were there any challenges setting up the ambassador program that you were surprised by, or, you know, just sustaining it, maintaining it, that you were surprised by?
No, honestly, this program is really awesome. It does most of the work. I was just taken aback by how many people were interested in joining, really.
Yeah. That's got to be flattering to know that so many people love your work, want to support you, want to share it with their communities as well.
Totally. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, how big is your team now, and what roles? You mentioned you have somebody that helps with content. What other roles do you have filled?
Yes. So we have 5 people on the team, including myself. I do all of the design and, like, for the most part, run social. And then I have Naomi, who's my content manager. She does a lot of our photo shoots. I used to do all of the photo shoots, shoot them when I first started Daisy, but then it just got to be too much. So Naomi does all our photo shoots. She does our email blast. She helps me with creative whenever I need. Then I have Philip, who's actually my boyfriend, who works for me full time now.
Nice.
He runs all the logistics. He helps with the wholesale, like fulfilling orders and all that, all the software. And then we have Megan, who's the manager of our Daisy Lady Shop, which is a section of our website that we use to promote brands made by fellow female-owned, ethically made, sustainably made businesses.
Very cool.
People can shop that right on our site, and she manages that. And then we have Lisa, who works out of our Long Beach warehouse, and she does customer service and shipping. And then we also have our production team, who aren't like a direct employees of Daisy, but they're so, so deeply involved in the brand since we make all of our clothing to order. So they're a huge part of the team as well.
That is incredible. So wait, you make everything to order? I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, girl. It's nuts. I mean, most of our stuff, it's either small batch made or it's made to order. And that's something that I met my production partner pretty early in Daisy through one of my freelance clients. We met at a magic trade show.
Yeah,
we happened to be like hanging out in the same booth. And he was like, so you do graphics? Like, tell me about like your business. And it was about 6 months into Daisy. And originally, like, I was just going with like a local screen printer, printing on whatever blanks I could find. Right. But he was a really big advocate for slow fashion and sustainability. His name is Kelly. He's awesome. And I've been with him now for like 3 years. And together we've found a way to create almost zero waste or as little waste as possible by making most of our clothing to order in Los Angeles using organic and sustainable materials. And it's been a process. Making to order is not easy. And we really emphasize the word slow when it comes to slow fashion, because people do have to wait. But a lot of times our customers are happy to wait and they know that their money is going to support something that is made literally because they ordered it just for them. And there's right. not going to be, you know, product waste, which is like a huge reason why the fashion industry is the number two most polluting industry in the world.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sitting here, my mind's running 1,000 miles because I want to ask you about like, so you're not maintaining inventory, but you mentioned that you're selling wholesale and that has got to be a tough model. Wholesale has got to be a tough model when you're essentially, I don't want to see your print on demand. That's not how you're doing it, but you're running things as you go. How do you manage that?
So surprisingly, wholesale has actually helped our direct consumer business a lot. I mean, direct to consumer was our main game for so long.
Right.
And then, you know, the market is so tricky, especially with like all these outside forces, like algorithms and blah, blah, blah. So we decided spring of this year to get a wholesale showroom rep. And we're now with Post Showroom. They're super awesome. And wholesale's been popping off. And what's really cool is with our made-to-order model, we also small batch a lot of our t-shirts.
Yeah.
So our t-shirts will be small batch. Let's say they make like, you know, 20 like blank white shirts, you know, and then 20 in this color. And then once the product is ordered, they'll wait for like 10 of that graphic to be ordered. And then they'll screen them all at once and then ship them out. But with wholesale, what's been kind of cool is, you know, people will place the order, and with wholesale, it's normal to wait a few months for that order to then be fulfilled. And they'll throw some extra shirts on, or if we're doing cut and sew pieces like we have now, we carry like pants and jumpsuits and all this stuff. And that was small batch. But with wholesale, we've been able to make slightly larger batches and overproduce on a couple pieces that we have in stock, so things ship a little faster. So it's helped us in a way, like produce faster for our direct, which has been really cool.
I assume you like communication's got to be super clear with your wholesale accounts because, you know, yes, there's a lot of people that order months out, but there's also a lot of people that want things shipped ASAP, you know? And so I'm fascinated that that's your model with both wholesale and direct to consumer and that you're making it work. I think that's awesome. What about profit margins though? Because you're not doing larger runs, that does got to cut into your profit margins a bit.
Oh yeah. Our profit margins are not like incredible. I mean, sometimes when I look at how much less expensive it would be to produce overseas, it's like, oh my God, even to do fair trade or something like that.
But it's important for your values to do it here. And I do agree that there's a lot less waste by doing it the way you're doing it. I'm impressed. This was not a criticism. I'm impressed.
No, girl. I'm like okay with sacrificing like crazy profit margins to be able to like have a company that aligns with my values. And it's also like something our community really cares about and a great conversation starter. And like amongst our ambassadors, they're very like excited to support companies that are trying to do good by our planet and the people in it. So it's kind of like, you know, it's so built into our brands. Like we could really go back, like not that we would want to, but yeah, I mean, we try to treat everyone fair from the garment worker who is creating the clothing to the end user. And, you know, we try to keep our prices fair to the end user and pay, you know, the people making it the right prices as well. And, you know, we make money, a little bit of money somewhere in between all that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a tricky balance. It's a tricky balance no matter which way you slice it, but I think it's also fascinating. And I think my listeners are really going to enjoy hearing that you do this just because it's a different model and it's a different way of doing things. So thank you for letting me dive a little deeper there with my own curiosity. So, you know, what advice would you give to somebody that's a new product designer that, you know, is full of ideas, but just getting started?
I think as somebody who was so on the design side of things, stepping into a product-based business where I was essentially on my own, the biggest thing was being open, talking to people, asking questions, putting myself out there. If I hadn't have gone to this fashion trade show, I would have never met my production partner who has helped me grow my company to where it is today and create the beautiful products that we do. I think you really just have to be open and, you know, do your research and meet people and network and you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Did you have a mentor as you were coming up? Is there anyone that you look to and rely on for advice in your business?
Not really. I wish there was. I hear there's like less female entrepreneurs with mentors than there are with male entrepreneurs. And I think that's really sad because we really need to like lift each other up and help each other so we can make an impact in this world. I mean, I would say if anything, like my production partner, Kelly, has been a mentor on the product side of things. And, you know, he's become such like a big part of my business and vice versa that, you know, he's somebody I go to for advice a lot.
I agree with you.
It's more peer to peer, I would say, than somebody that's like, you know, way advanced than me helping me out. I think
totally.
I'm getting that more from people that are like on my level and we're helping each other out and giving each other advice and just building that community around me of women who are doing similar things is probably like one of the biggest.
Totally. I describe my business besties as kind of my like advisors, my advisory board, so to speak, even though it's totally informal and, you know, they know me, they know my business. And, you know, when I'm struggling to make a decision or with, you know, all the million things we have to do as an entrepreneur, you know, they're my go-to. So that's awesome. Well, what's next for Daisy? What do you have coming up in the fall?
Ooh, so literally tomorrow we are shooting our fall collection. I just got all of the product in yesterday and it's looking amazing. I cannot wait to launch it. It's going to be super cool. I mean, I'm always chasing what's next and what's new. So whenever I get to refresh the brand, it's so exciting for me. And another really cool thing we've been doing is we've been getting like into the mural conference game. We've been collaborating with Create and Cultivate on their self-care summit. We did a mural. We outfitted their team in matching jumpsuits with one of our graphics on it. We're headed up next week to their San Francisco conference and we're doing another mural and outfitting the team. So we've been really like into mural. I've been doing a lot more artwork. And I think this whole mural thing is going to be a really fun way to market the brand that feels very authentic to our very art-driven aesthetic.
Awesome. I can't wait to watch the stories of the mural process for you.
It's so fun. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of IGTV lately, which I think Instagram is really pushing people to do because they get a lot more views than regular stuff.
Yeah.
Also a really cool way to share the process beyond just Instagram stories. You get to tell a little bit more of an actual story and like I'll do like time lapses of like me painting a mural or me working on a design and, you know, us doing the lookbook. And I think, you know, keep an eye on our IGTV. We want to be producing a lot more stuff there as well. And I think a lot more people should give it a shot. It is so fun and people love to see the nitty gritty behind the scenes.
Awesome. Well, where can people find you online? Where can they check out your Instagram?
Yes. Please give us a follow on Instagram. Our account is at Daisy LA, DAZEY. And there's an underscore LA. Cool. And yeah, that's where you'll find all of our stuff. I have like a million Instagram accounts. You could probably find them.
Awesome. Well, we will link.
Oh, and the website.
Daisy yes, please.
DAZEYLA.com. So check it out. See what we got on there. Support female entrepreneurs and sustainability.
Awesome. We will include all of that in the show notes so people can easily find you. But Dani, thank you so much for your time today. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking products.
Me too.
When it comes to scaling a product-based business, one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is that they spread themselves too thin. They're trying to sell retail in their online shop. Maybe they're doing retail craft shows. Maybe they're dabbling in wholesale. They're picking up some custom jobs on the side. And maybe they're even trying out licensing. But when you do all of those different things, or even just a combination of them, you're spreading yourself too thin because each of those requires different sales strategies, different marketing strategies, and you're catering to a different audience, a different customer. So the first thing I want to tell you to do is stop spreading yourself too thin. Instead, build systematically. Do one and get that going really well before you add in another sales channel. And two, if you are considering whether or not wholesale is a right next step for your business, I invite you to join me for my free masterclass, Is Wholesale Right for You? It's available at prooftoproduct.com/wholesale. It's available anytime you want to watch it. It's on demand in about 30 minutes. And I'm going to run you through some concrete things you need to have ready or you need to think about before you wholesale so that you can walk away knowing whether wholesale is the right next step for your business. So again, that's prooftoproduct.com/wholesale. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.